A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Memtes, Ksubas 49b, pagination is 98. We're going to start from about 15 lines on the page. The beginning of the line is the word Be'usha. Be'usha Hiskinu, in the place Usha, they made a certain takana, a legislation. Usha was one of the places that the Sanhedrin gathered after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Even in the years before the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed, the Beis Din HaGadol already exiled themselves from the Beis HaMikdash, and they started meeting in different places. Usha is one of the famous places that they met, and they made a specific legislation over there. Shehi Adam Zones Banav Espinosav Kishehen Ketanim, that a person should support his children as long as they are under age. So in order to appreciate this takana, we have to understand what is biblically required and what is the purpose of this legislation. Keep in mind, we're focusing on Talmudic law in the time of the Talmud. Obviously, current minhagim would impact these laws very significantly. I've heard of a case, for example, where there was a divorce, husband-wife separating, and the Beis Din indicated that the obligations of education would include sending the children to Eretz Yisrael for the year after high school, because that's the norm. That's what's commonly done. And they extended this type of obligation of sustaining a child even to that extent. Clearly, once a person graduates high school, they have a high school diploma, one could start arguing that they're on their own. But minhagim are very significant. This is not like minhagim that we talk in other areas. People use an expression, it's a minig to eat latkes on Hanukkah. This is a minig of, it's going to end up being the din, because that's minig hamakom. So the halacha is described, again, in a Talmudic sense, in Siman Ayin Aleph, in Evan Ezer. A person is strictly obligated to sustain his sons and daughters until the age of six. Afilu yesh lehem nechasim, even if they have assets, shenaflu lehem b'nei savi imam, that they inherited. If, for example, their mother died and her father then died, then those assets of inheritance would go directly to the grandchildren, if there are no other heirs on their parent level, no siblings of hers. So they're going to inherit. They have a lot of assets. The father could easily say, take care of yourselves. But until the age of six, he's truly obligated. Umisham va'elach, from that point on, again, at least in their culture, zanon ketakonas chachomim ad sheyigdulu. The only reason that you're obligated to sustain them is because of this takonas usha of our Gemara, until they are bar bas mitzvah. Let's go back to our Gemara, and we'll appreciate a little better how far this takana can be taken. Iboy luhu, they asked the following question. Do we paskin like this takana susha? Will we enforce it to the point of actually extracting money from a person? Or, as we'll actually see the ruling, is that it's a little bit less than that, where kofin bimili, we will influence, we will publicize, we will talk the person into sustaining the children, but we don't actually extract money according to the Talmud level of this law, that it wasn't, this takana susha wasn't taken that accepted, not so seriously to the point that we would actually force the person. Let's see the examples. Tashema, we learned. Ki ava osa lekameh de Rav Yehuda, when they came to Rav Yehuda, amar lehu, when such a case came, he gave a nickname. He said, Yarod Yolda, you're like the Yarod, which Rashi says is a certain animal that gives birth and then leaves its young to be sustained by others. Va'abnei mosa shadya, and he dumps his young on the people of the city. And that's what this man is doing. And by that insult, by that clarity of your wrong, the hope was that the person would pick up the tab. But we do not see that they would just beat the guy up or just take the money. Because if they did so, they wouldn't need to make these declarations. When a similar case came to Rav Chista, Amaluhu, he said, Kafalo asisa, turn upside down a certain type of pot, a mortar, bitzibura in public, velekim velema, and let the person get up and say on himself, urva bo'i b'nei, a raven wants children, v'ahu gavra lo bo'i b'nei, but that person, meaning himself, doesn't want children. He's not willing to support his own children to ensure their future. He's worse than a raven. So, we have an interesting tradition regarding a raven, and those who are into zoology and parakshira studies are a little bit at a loss to identify which orev, which raven is being referred to over here in this context. We simply don't have enough knowledge of the animal kingdom to identify, but we're told v'urva boy b'nei, the raven really wants children. We have a tradition, v'aksiv, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, levnei orev asher yikro, that the children of the orev need to call out to Hashem and be provided for. And there's a specific medrash of how Hashem provides for them. So why would we have somebody get up and say, the raven supports its children and I don't? On the contrary, the raven is a very odd example to give because there's a whole story with the raven that it doesn't want to support its young. And the tradition is that the children look different than the parents, and the parents don't recognize them, don't identify them as their children, and they don't support them. Says the Gemara Lokasha, not a problem. I'll explain to you what the connection with the Orev is. What's the rebuke? Habechivri, initially, the children are white, and the Orev doesn't recognize them and doesn't support them. Habeuchmi, but as they get older, they become black, and then the Orev identifies them as his children, and then he supports them. So we understand there's got to be some deeper level why we're identifying the Orev. How interesting that it starts off that it doesn't like the children and then it ends up liking the children, identifying with the children. Why is this man being told to call out, Urva boy b'nei, the Orev wants children and I don't want to support them to see a good future for them. So one approach might be that this person similarly is being given mussar that right now you might not find the children to be cute or worthy of your support because of whatever your illusions of what children are supposed to be. But we're telling him, you know, things develop. And if right now at the age 7, you think of the kid in your misguided view as a pain in the neck, but eventually, from white becomes black, or whatever colors you want to identify with, eventually, the child is going to be a somebody, and if you support him, he'll get there. And perhaps on one level, the point with the Orev is, it's development. The Ben Yoyada offers a fascinating insight over here, because the declaration really is, Urva boi b'nei, the raven wants children. And if you read the Gemara, it doesn't sound so clear what that means. So the Ben Yoyada points out that, on the contrary, the very achzorius, the very rejection of the children, is because the Orev desperately wants children and doesn't identify with these as his children. But the minute he does identify them as his children, he supports them. So his entire being, even his rejection of these birds that he can't identify with, is all because, it's all driven by Bo'i B'nei, that he wants children. And we're saying to this person, look at you, the Orev, Bein Letov, Bein Lamutov, both when he acts oddly and when he acts rightly, it's all driven by he wants children. Don't you identify with that, that you want children, you want to leave children in the world, you want them to do well? And that's the rebuke that's being offered over here. Kiava Asile Kame de Rava, when such a case came to Rava, Amale, he said, Nichalei de Mitzini Benech Mitzedakah. What, you want your children to get tzedakah money? Again, it's a kafia b'mili. It's a forcing, but only with words, that the person should be embarrassed. He should be compelled through a moral clarity to support the children. V'lo amran, and we don't say this ruling that we only force with words, and we don't force forcibly, ela de lo amid, if the person's not wealthy. Aval Amid, but if he's wealthy, kafinan le'al karcha, you're allowed to force him. Gihod Rava, just like the example of Rava, kafyul Rav Nosan bar Ami v'apik miminei, dalad me'azuzi le'tzedakah, Rava, with a certain person, simply forced out of him 400 coins for tzedakah, and the Gemara assumes how the more so if a person's own children are in need, and the person's capable, then we would force Hakarav Karav Kodem, a person has a greater tzedakah, moral obligation, to those who are closely related to him. Yashikoach, thank you for joining.